TJ Buchenbarger.
Hello, world. Episode 148 of the TJSlideways.com podcast about to commence. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger. Trevor Hollis joining me as well in the co-pilot seat from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with the show via Twitter at TJ Slideways, the Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com. Also email podcast at TJSlideways.com. And don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, make sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store. Trevor, how are you doing this evening?
Excellent, TJ. Always a pleasure to be on the show with you.
I think we can sum up the past weekend of racing in with one name.
Donnie Schatz.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty strong start to his 2017 season, and that might be understating it just a little bit.
Yeah, how many guys can you think of that have led the All-Star and the World of Outlaw point standings at the same time in March? It's not
how
like
many
it's...
guys other than him have won a sprint car race.
Not that well. I could probably give you that number in a minute, but I don't have it right in front of me. But it's not. He's leading the feature win list again too. Went right to the top. So it's two wins over the weekend at Las Vegas. And man, he's only lost once in the Outlaw Tour. And it's, you know, Mother Nature has more wins than anyone else in the Outlaw Tour, not named Donnie Schatz so far. So,
well, not just Las Vegas, but we didn't do an episode last week. He won down in Texas as well. Schatz won the one night and Mother Nature one night too.
Yeah, I right now, when you're beating Mother Nature, you're doing something right, because that's pretty remarkable. Schatz, it's going to be interesting to see how many he can win now. I mean, that's the number. Everyone, there's the jokes going on Twitter and everything about, oh, he's on pace to win 80-plus features this year. Let's be real. It's not going to do that. But, I mean, right. He could be – I mean, we're approaching – we could look at history. I mean, giant overreaction. You know, we could say that, you know, he's going to say history. But, I mean, it's not like he's destroying a cupcake field. I mean, this is a good field of drivers, and it's deep this year.
Yeah, he's going to go into the events this coming weekend with a 74-point lead over Jason Johnson. And, you just look at the wins. You look at the stats of the 2017 season so far. Donnie Schatz, 5 wins. The rest of the World of Outlaw field, 1. It's just insane.
Our guest 2 weeks ago, Jason Johnson. So
yep.
It's the only other guy. And here's the funny story. Okay, Trevor. So I had the bright idea that me, Mr. Eastern Time Zone, that has to go to work on Friday, I'm going to get the Las Vegas Motor Speedway pay-per-view on Dirt Vision on the West Coast with 3 divisions. And guess how far I made it into the program before I fell asleep?
Not far.
Heat races. Yeah, I was out. I was going to have this great analysis for the podcast this week, and I was going to watch it. I'll already take notes like I do quite often if I am watching pay-per-view at home. And, these West Coast races are brutal for us East Coast people. I know West Coast fans, you love it. Good for you. That's awesome. But, man, it is. And the deadlines for the website are even worse. I mean, it's just like, oh my word, these things are getting over at like 4 a.m.
Hey, we have daylight savings time now, so you should be a little bit better.
Oh yeah, considering everyone else is on it, that's really gonna help. So all daylight savings time for racers is good for is dust. So that's pretty much it. But I would say, Trevor, probably the person you're most impressed with this weekend, Donnie Schatz.
Yeah, safe to say.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a different name up there, and he's going to be our first guest tonight on the show, Ryan Bernal. Schatz wasn't the only guy sweeping Vegas, so Bernal picked up both West Coast sprint car victories, and Trevor, the second night was particularly impressive.
Yeah, he had a rough night, you could say that also. He ended up starting 22nd in that feature and won. Showed him how it was done, I guess.
And had the lead pretty much two-thirds of the way through the feature, which is just remarkable when you think about that. And a couple other things on the weekend. I want to give a shout-out to Austin Liggett. Trevor, get this. We're talking about guys that swept 2 races. Austin won 3 features this past weekend. He won both Spec Sprint features at Silver Dollar Speedway in Chico, California. Followed it up with a race I found out about 5 minutes before I posted our weekend schedule at Chowchilla Speedway. won it on Sunday and make it three straight feature wins for him. Now, I suspect sprint division and stuff, but still, you win three races in a weekend, you're doing something right.
Oh, sure. Yeah, if you have the capability to race three races in a weekend in March, you're in a good part of the country.
Yeah, at this point, if you're not under about 3 feet of snow, you're probably a good part of the country. So good show tonight, Trevor. We have lined up Ryan Bernal. We mentioned our guest earlier. We're going to talk about a couple things with him. And then we have a local guest as well.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to Dave DeHem. He's going to be starting up a new pavement sprint series here in the Midwest, the Michigan and Ohio area. And also he is in charge of the Michigan Auto Racing Fan Club, a group that is here in obviously Michigan that I've been a part of for the last few years. And I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about that group. And it's just a great group. And we'll let Dave talk about it a little later.
And they know how to throw a party. That's the best.
Yes, they do.
All righty.
Yes, they do.
So coming up on the program, we got Ryan Bernal and Dave DeHem right after this break on the TJSlideways.com podcast. Trevor, it's rare that we see anyone win more than once out of Las Vegas, but the gentleman we're about ready to talk to won twice this weekend in Las Vegas with the USAC West Coast and Southwest Sprint Car Series. And Ryan Bernal, other than losing that engine, which we'll talk about a little bit later, it was a pretty good weekend, picking up a couple feature victories.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've had a couple of them taken from me there in Vegas in the last couple of years, and I didn't run last year because of the Fire Academy, but this year I really wanted to snag that one, and we happened to get two of them.
Let's talk about the first night. Very tricky racetrack. Almost looked like, from what I could see, you were racing the racetrack as much as the competition. How tough was it to negotiate the racetrack, and how did you get past Joe Stornetta for the win?
You know, I don't really know. It was, like you said, it was tricky, and you know, I was racing the racetrack. You know, there's holes you definitely couldn't see. I don't know why you couldn't see them, but when you hit them, you had no idea you were about to hit them. And then, you know, everybody was running the bottom, and I thought it was a little smoother up top, you know, rolling around there. And so I went ahead and went to the top, kind of just started picking cars off, and I get a better run down the back straightaway than Stornetta, and end up getting around him there, and just kind of held on.
Well, Ryan, you had an interesting weekend down there. You had some engine problems, and you had to actually, you decided not to replace the engine, but you switched to a backup car. What brought that choice on, and did that make you nervous going into the night?
Yeah, you know, it was just, we didn't know how much time we had. You know, the night before we had a lot of time. You know, and then that second night, it was just kind of a guessing game, and, you know, we happened to blow that motor in the heat race, and we were confident in the backup car, and my guys were confident in me. So, you know, they decided just to pull the backup down, fire it up, and go for it. You know, I was a little bit nervous, you know, starting 22nd. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew the track was wide enough to, you know, to roll through the pack. And so we just went for it. You know, the car was great. The motor lasted, and, you know, we were sitting in victory lane after.
And just to clarify, that was the second night, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Now, here's the thing that got me. It's the second night. You start 22nd in the feature. Quite often you see guys do this. It gets kind of dicey at the end. You had the lead by lap 21. Were you surprised you got there so soon?
Yeah, it was. Things kind of like fell. I don't know if they fell into my place, but, you know, we kind of worked through the pack pretty quick there. And one of the restarts, I happened to go from fourth to second. Those two guys got a little bunched up on a start or whatever, and ended up sliding both of them, getting into one. And once I was on Brady, you know, I slid Brady once, and then we got a yellow that came out, and I knew we were fast. You know, I was confident in the car we had, and so I just went for it. You know, me and Brady threw a couple sliders back and forth, and I made one stick, and, you know, I watched the video after he ended up going down to the bottom. You know, we were able to hold him off there.
And to beat someone like Brady Bacon, who is on a national stage all the time, does it make it that much sweeter when you know a couple of those national guys are in the field?
Yeah, you know, because I don't get those guys out in California a lot. And, you know, people like to say that I cherry pick or whatever it may be, but, you know, this time was different, and it's really not. Out California, there's a lot of good drivers out here that are capable of winning every single night, and just to have those national guys there made it that much better for me. And, guys like Dave Darling, Brady Bacon, those are the best guys out in Indy there. So, yeah, definitely, like you said, it was a little sweeter beating those two guys.
Ryan, I want to go back a little bit. When we first started talking to you here, you had made a comment that you had missed it the last year over there in Vegas because you were at the Fire Academy. Fill us in on that. That sounds like a really interesting story.
So there was racing in California is getting harder and harder. I couldn't find a ride back east. Making racing a career has gotten so much harder through the years. I wasn't sure. I didn't doubt myself, but like I said, it just looks very hard to make it a promising lifestyle to race. I haven't given up on it by any means, but I wanted a backup plan. So I ended up paying for school to go to a 6-month fire academy that was Friday through Sunday from 6 to 6. And I ended up going and I really enjoyed it. I've always, had a passion and I always loved the fire department. So I went to school and I missed 6 months of the race season, or actually 9. I didn't hit Chili Bowl, cause I was there. But, it was tough. I don't think I've missed more than, in the last 18 years of racing, I don't think I've ever missed more than 3 months, and that's an off season. So going to that 6-month academy is really hard for me, but I'm glad I did it because now I have that backup plan. And then I just finished my EMT school. Now I'm trying to get my EMT national certification to start testing. I tested with Cal Fire, and I haven't heard back yet, but it's racing's always going to be right there for me. And it's still my number one passion. I just had to get a backup plan.
That is a, quite an interesting, decision for such a young man. And, sometimes a very sound one for Ryan Bernal, even though he has more than enough talent to do this for a living, in my opinion. So hopefully someone will eventually allow you to come back east here and make that jump, which brings me to the next question. Plans for 2017, where are we going to see you racing at?
Right now, I'm going to run that new Sprint Car Challenge series with Mike Phelps Motorsports, a 56 car I've been running, and that'll be out here. And then, we're going to hit and miss with the 73 team of Josh Ford Motorsports, who I previously ran for. They gave me my first start in the USAC. And then, I just trying to fill my schedule. I think I have almost 30-something races in the 56. And, I'm just trying to go race and have fun this year and do as much as I can. The 25th, I will finally go back to Indy and race Brownstown for Michael Dutcher. And hopefully something else comes about that after. It's just, like I said, it's hard to keep racing, and, money's hard to come by, and teams are hard to come by. So hopefully we got a good run going, and we could keep going after that.
Ryan, are we going to see, are you going to head out to Thunder Bowl?
Yes, Friday. Yeah, I'll be there Friday and Saturday with JFM. The car that Brady just ran.
Talk a little bit about that event.
About Tulare or just the event in general?
Yeah, Tulare. I know that that's a challenging track.
Yeah, no, it is. I really think Tulare takes a lot of driver, a lot of patience, because come feature time, usually 9 times out of 10, the right rear is right up against the fence, and it really suits my driving style, I think. I've gotten bitten there a couple times, but the other times I think we've been very successful there in the 73 and in the 56. I love that track. I think it's at the top of my list in tracks. They always have a good racing surface, trophy cups there, and USAC CRA is going there this year, and now Outlaws this coming up weekend, and I think Tulare puts on a pretty good show every time they run there.
Now, when we're out, for those of us that are out east that don't get to make our way out west, we watch videos, and it seems like, you know, the loud pedal guys always have the great Tulare videos. Does it ever go through your head, end up, I want to be on part of this video, but I don't want to be in the crash highlight video from Tulare, because it seems like that's the one where you see all the spectacular slow-mos, and you're just thinking, man, I do not want to be that guy.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, I feel like I've been on both. I feel like I've been on the highs, and I feel like I've been on the lows in that video. And yeah, like you said, they, you know, there's spectacular races and there's big crashes. I mean, that's what the fans go to the racetrack to see, in all reality. So I think, you know, for all the race fans out there, Trophy Cup is definitely one you got to put on your bucket list. The racing is nonstop. It's really good, and, you know, it's 2-3 days of racing, and it's for a good cause. So they do it all for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and it's probably one of the better races in the country.
Yeah, you led into something. I was actually on Tulare's website right now looking at that, and I was going to mention that it is for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and excellent to see a track giving back, and especially a big event like this, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday type of event, giving back to a great cause.
Yeah, and, you know, they do everything from dinners, you know, after the races, spaghetti feeds, they do lunches, you know, and they do raffles, you know, everything helps out a good cause, and it brings all, you know, what it really does is it brings all the families out, all the racers, all the fans, and it brings them all together. You know, it's really an awesome weekend of racing, and like I said, brings everybody together, brings out a good amount of money for Make-A-Wish, and it's been going for a long time, and there's a reason it's been going for a long time. So I think, you know, you guys got to put that on your bucket list if you haven't been there, because you won't be disappointed.
Well, folks, if you want to head out to that event, that's October 19th, 20th, and 21st. Quite a ways from now, we got a lot of racing to do in the meantime. Ryan, thank you so much for your time here tonight. It's been awesome having you on. Always good to talk to other drivers in the way out west. Best of luck to you in 2017, and thank you for doing what you're doing with the Fire Academy, and best of luck with that.
I appreciate it.
Hi, everybody. TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Oshwegan Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Well, Trevor, there's a new non-wing pavement sprint car series for 2017, the Midwest Non-Wing Sprints, and our next guest is the proprietor of that series.
Welcome, Dave DeHem. Very familiar name in the Michigan racing world anyway.
Dave, I got to ask you first here. Yeah, you've been involved in Legend Car Racing, a bunch of different series and tracks over the years. You're kind of... What made you want to get involved with non-wing pavement sprint car racing?
Well, a few of my buddies stepped out of Legends cars and jumped into sprint cars and started hanging out with them at the racetrack and really started to appreciate them a whole lot more over the years and got to know a lot of the drivers. And when Spartan Speedway decided to not have a non-wing division in early 2016, a few guys started calling me and asking me if I could do something, and I sat around and I prayed on it and thought about it for a while, and talked to a few more people and decided, you know, maybe we can take the show on the road. So that's how I ended up doing it.
Dave, what do you think the biggest difference is this time versus events you've been part of in the past?
Well, based on my experience, after spending 13 and a half years as the PR director and chaplain for the Michigan Legends Series and getting to know John Turnbull Sr. real well and how he did things, I just saw that if we did that same type of thing with non-wing sprint cars and we took a reasonably priced show to the promoters, that we'd be able to kind of do the same thing. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
And Dave, one of the things I find impressive is the fact that you have gotten sprint cars into a place that by my knowledge, they've never been to before. You guys have a show up at the Whittemore Speedway. Now, did you ever get the legend cars in there? Because I've never been there, so I don't even know what it's like. And that one piqued my curiosity just because I've never been there before.
Whittemore Speedway is just like a quarter mile Bristol. When you pull out onto that racetrack in a Legends car, because the first time I went there was in 2004 with the Michigan Legends, and or 2003, I should say, in the fall of 2003. When I pulled out onto the racetrack halfway down the backstretch where they enter the racetrack from the pits, I got up there and I looked and I go, holy cow. And I just drove down the banking, took a little bit of a right turn, gassed it, and the back end wanted to come around. And I said, oh, this place is going to be fast. So Whittemore Speedway, I've been there before. I've raced there four or five times. They have been running Legends cars over the past number of years, so I'm very familiar with the track. But, you know, Whittemore's always been a great place. It's nice and wide. It's got good sweeping turns. It's only got a wall on the front stretch. And I always felt that non-wing cars there would really put on a great show. So I basically got a hold of Andy Hess and said, hey, guys, I got something for you. And after a couple months worth of talking back and forth, we're finally able to secure a show.
Dave, what do you think the biggest challenge with this series is going to be in 2017 for you?
For me, it's going to be learning. You know, as much as I've been around the sport and watch promoters and learn from promoters, just going to remain at ease and just let things happen the way they do and to kind of take control and to guide the thing. Because, you know, as you know, race car drivers, we've all been there. You know, we all feel that we know how to do it. And we all just need to be guided. I know I did. And so that's going to be a challenge for me. It's just being calm, you know, and I know I can, but to just relax and enjoy it and let it be fun, because that's the vision. We want to have a fun series.
Another thing you guys are doing this season, you're taking a 2-day trip down to Ohio, which is kind of a little bit of a thing. You announced last week that you'd be making the trip, the Sandusky Speedway date already announced, but you're also going to the Lorain County Speedway and made it a nice weekend.
Yes, that is really, I'm excited for that. Actually, you know, Sandusky is the first show that we were able to book. So I was excited to go there because I've actually never been to Sandusky, but I know a lot of guys from my earlier years that have raced there and then running the cavalcade every year, and it's always been a real racy place to go. And I know that the supermods have gone there for years and years, so it always was kind of a special place. And I just approached them about a show, and after talking with them, they decided to have us in on the 24th of June. And just recently, somebody told me that Lorain County was interested in having us while we were in the area. So I got a hold of Kevin Clark, and within about 5 minutes, we put the deal together. So we'll be at Sandusky on Saturday, the 24th of June, and then we'll be at Lorain County on Sunday, the 25th of June. And the beauty part is the tracks are about 45 miles apart. Lorain County has offered their parking lot for people to camp in. I'm sure there's some hotels in the area, and we'll be putting some more information together on that one as we get closer.
Dave, what's been the reaction from the race teams? It seems like the Nowing Sprint Car scene has been a little bit passive at times. Guys are kind of waiting for something to happen. Now that you're making it happen and there is a series, what has been the reaction?
For the most part, it's been good. You know, a couple of concerns, and like I said, we're all racers, and we all have our own ideas, and so I've had a little direction from a few folks, and it, you know, it's been well received. You know, I always have come from the fact that people have an opinion, and we have to listen to everyone's opinion, but to receive the series, you know, it's been good. You know, at this point, we've got 18 teams that have said that they're very interested in it. We've got 5 drivers right now committed to all 3 shows that we've got booked already, so that's a very good feeling. I know we'll pull more people in, but the reception's been good, you know, and it's hopeful for everybody because we need a direction and we need to get these cars in front of people so they really see how enjoyable they are to watch and the good shows they're capable of putting on.
Well, Dave, let's take a step away from the this new series and talk something I know you're pretty passionate about, the Michigan Auto Racing Fan Club. Got to work with you a couple of years ago emceeing that event, which was a huge honor. Saw you just a few weeks ago at the annual banquet you have down there in Warren. For those that might be listening that might want to get involved, give me your pitch for the Michigan Auto Racing Fan Club, a great opportunity to even get into some races free over the course of the summer.
Oh, it's to coin a phrase from Michigan Motorsports Hall of Fame announcer Gary Lindahl, it's the best deal in all of auto racing. And, you know, he says that, and I see him all the time. And Gary's a former board member, and as you know, I've been the president of the fan club. Right now I'm vice president. But, you know, we have like 16 member tracks around the state of Michigan. We have Flat Rock, Spartan, Tri-City, Auto City, Kalamazoo, the Crystal Motor Speedway. Here they got a pretty decent announcer there, but I've heard them a few times. we've got the Mid-Michigan Raceway Park, Toledo Speedway, Mount Pleasant Speedway, Merritt, Winston, Thunderbird, Silver Bullet, the Waterford Hills Raceway, so you can go both right and left at that place. I-96 in Toledo, again. Got all these events, and if you're a member of the Michigan Auto Racing Fan Club, each of these tracks hosts a fan club night. And on that night, as a member, you just show your membership card, and you're granted 1 free general admission pass for the night's racing. And while I say it's the greatest deal in auto racing, $15 for a single membership. Now think about that. You go to the racetrack, you're going to pay anywhere from $10 to $15 to go to the races. Well, you can go to the races 14, 15 times for that same $15. Now, if you've got a family, $20 for a couple or a family pass, and it covers all the kids in the house up to 15 years old. I don't know how you're going to get a better deal than that.
And Dave,
how's that for my pitch?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And Dave, I know Trevor's been doing it. I still, believe it or not, have never been to the banquet.
You're missing, TJ.
I was just going to say, everyone, I get this every time from everybody. I'm like, how have you not gone to the banquet? I've heard that your banquet is one of the nicest in the country, actually.
You know, we're generally right up around 400 people every year. And at that banquet, we honor... of our member tracks, we honor all the champions from all of our member tracks that night. So if you won a championship at Tri-City or Auto City or Spartan or Flat Rock, we're going to honor you that night. Now, if you're a driver who's won a championship at, say, a non-member track, but you're also a member of the fan club, well, we'll honor you as well. There's a, you know, there's a few tracks that, that have decided not to be members, but they've been represented at the banquet by virtue of their champions being members. But in addition to that, we hand out three top awards every year. We hand out our President's Award. We also hand out the Eddie Sachs Junior Memorial Lifetime Achievement Award. Most of you open wheelers will remember Eddie Sachs. He lost his life in that fiery crash in 1964 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Well, his son, Eddie Sachs III, is a good friend, and he sponsored that award. Now, that award this year went to Ron Hemelgarn, which is a very familiar name to all open wheelers. The classy thing about that award is that it seems that every year, whoever wins it has some sort of a connection right back to Eddie Sachs himself. And the Sachs family has no input onto who we select to win that award. You know, so you're going to see people like Hemelgarn. Butch Miller won our President's Award this year. You know, all you guys in Michigan, you know Butch Miller from Coopersville. I mean, he just set the world on fire in super late models on pavement. Some of our past honorees are guys like Roger Penske, Jack Roush. We've had Bob Seneker. We've had Connie Coletta, the great Ken Squire.
I was going to mention that one.
Even told a joke about an elephant's trunk, and I won't repeat that one.
I was going to say, I have not laughed so hard as a few years ago where when Ken Squire did his acceptance speech. That was classic.
You know, so, and the thing about that banquet, too, is we don't have the same guy emceeing it every year. We do a round robin, and we use all of our voices of summer in Michigan. Trevor, we had you a couple years ago. We've had Shut Up Roger Williams. We've had Mr. Lindau, Mr. Pago, Jason Selter. So, you know, there's always talent. And if you want to see somebody in the racing world, you go to that banquet, they're probably going to be there.
Well, that's an awesome deal. Where can you find more information on the Midwest Sprint Car Series and also the fan club?
Well, we've got a Facebook page for the Midwest Non-Wing Sprints. So you just go on Facebook and you just go to Midwest Non-Wing Sprints, and that's where we're putting all of our information out on the series and their drivers. Recently, I've posted pictures of all the drivers that are going to be committed to racing with us, and guys are sending me pictures daily, and I'm making sure we can get pictures of them on there. Now, if you're interested in the Michigan Auto Racing Fan Club, just go to the website. It's www.marfc.org. Again, that's www.marfc.org. And it's got all the information, and you can download an application to become a member. Or you just watch for us at your local track on our fan club night. You can come sign up because we have a booth every time.
Well, Dave, thank you so much. We're going to get you out of here on that note. Thank you so much for your time this week, and we've been connect with you for a couple of weeks. Finally made it happen. And best of luck in 2017, both with the new Sprint Series and with the Michigan Auto Racing Fan Club.
Okay, thanks.
Trevor, another great edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast.
Yeah, it's always exciting to get to talk to these, especially the young drivers, the future of the sprint car sport. Huge thanks to Ryan for coming on the show, and also to Dave, who, as I predicted in the opening, had a little bit to say about the Michigan Auto Racing Fan Club.
Just a bit, so make sure to sign up for that and go to the party, man. And, you know, you said open bar, right? Open bar.
Yes. Yeah,
that alone might be worth your membership right there and your banquet ticket as well. So don't forget, everyone who's listening, to go ahead and subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store. Well, Trevor, thanks for joining us again this week, and hopefully we thaw out so we can get to see some racing pretty soon.
Boy, we're about 4 weeks away from the start of my season at the track that I'm a part of on Saturday nights, and I look outside, I look at my deck, and I see about 3 inches of snow, and I'm thinking, oh boy. Now, I did talk to Ron Flynn, the track promoter there at Crystal. He was actually able to get on the track last week, so that's a promising thing.
Well, my season's supposed to start next Friday night at Attica Raceway Park. Let's hope.
Bundle up.
Yeah, let's bundle up. And where's the weather from last week anyway? But hopefully the snow clears out and we're able to go ahead and race there next week at Attica. So thank you for listening to this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.